There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to this week's edition of The Untold Story. Today, I am speaking with Sheriff Paul Penzone about an issue that has affected so many Americans and really has impacted our country so deeply, and that is the issue of fentanyl and the way it is impacting our teenagers, adults as well, people taking drugs that they think are one thing that turn out to be laced with this incredibly poisonous element that is coming in from China, through Mexico. It's a very serious issue, and Sheriff Penzone is on the front lines of it. So, Sheriff, thank you very much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me to have this very serious conversation. It is a very difficult time, and I believe that this issue is one that adversely affects our nation in so many ways.
So let's get to the heart of why this is happening. I mean, a few years ago, nobody heard of fentanyl. So how did this happen? How did this become such a problem for our country in the big picture?
Well, with your permission, I'd like to give a little bit of context just to give you some perspectives. I've been in law enforcement for nearly 35 years, and I would tell you a good portion of my career was actually spent in narcotics undercover. So it was at the state and federal level. And during that time frame, it was when I would tell you crack cocaine was one of the more significant drugs. Methamphetamine was really surging. This was the 90s. And heroin was always kind of this undercurrent of drugs. And what you see in that environment is there is always a new drug coming down the pike. There's always some other way to try to turn an addiction into a profit. And what we see now with fentanyl, in my opinion, is probably the most significant and dangerous public health and public safety crisis to affect our nation as it relates to drug distribution. Being a border state, you know, I'm in Maricopa County, and we're, I believe, the fourth largest county in the nation, and we're not on the border, but we're in the center of Arizona. We see the traffic coming from south of the border. We see it being developed here within our nation, but the properties are so addictive and so dangerous that it affects all walks of life.
Well, that's great in terms of your background, and obviously you have spent decades digging into this. What's different about this? Because I remember back in the 80s, the crack cocaine addiction all over the streets of New York City, crack pipes everywhere. And then over time, that went away. This feels different in that it is being taken as, you know, in disguise of a prescription drug. You've got middle school students who are picking it up on social media. Talk to me about the nature of this drug in particular, based on all your experience, and who is the driving factor in getting this into our country and to our kids?
Well, if we talk about it just on a, you know, and I'm not a chemist, but I'll talk about the chemical aspect of it. It's highly addictive, and because it can be produced in so many different ways, meaning no two pills will be the same, the danger of what you could be ingesting could be lethal on first try. So you have highly addictive, highly dangerous, could be deadly. As a nation, you know, there are certain things that contribute to addiction or the ease of distribution. Pills are obviously easily distributed. They can come in high volume and small packages. But because we're a nation, this is just my opinion, where if you think of everything from vitamins and prescription pills to, you know, anything that we ingest orally, it's a comfortable practice. So then for our children to see this, it doesn't have that same feel of danger as if you're using a needle or you're smoking from a pipe. So the familiarity, the comfort level of taking a pill and not seeing it as a threat or a hazard to you means the first time you try it almost feels comfortable. But the impact that it has, whether it's so addictive or it is so dangerous that it could take your life, that's something that most people aren't prepared for. But it's become a social practice at all ages and all walks of life. No one is immune to this. And because of that, you know, and now keep in mind, I not only patrol, and I myself, but my agency patrol over 9,000 square miles, but we have, I think, the second largest jail system in the nation. So the volume of overdoses and deaths that we see in incarcerated populations where you think they shouldn't get their hands on drugs has skyrocketed for us. And what is the driving force? it is the fundamental of supply and demand. If as a nation we don't take the criminalization and the proactive efforts to reduce drug addiction more seriously, we become the highest demand space, and the supply will come from anyone that's willing to produce, because it turns into dollars. So the blood, sweat, and tears is about profit, and because as a nation we're too comfortable with suddenly decriminalizing drugs or just kind of diminishing the severity of the impact, we're an easy target for, you know, whether it's south of the border, whether it's produced inside the country, whether it comes from other parts of the world, we're just we're the demand central.
Well put. You know, in terms of how it feels more comfortable for kids to take a pill in terms of vitamins and painkillers and all of these things. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, we were always taught you don't ever touch any prescription drug unless it was prescribed to you, you know, unless mom and dad actually give it to you. But we've definitely entered an environment where people are passing these things around, and there is a casual nature to it that is so dangerous with regard to this. You know, in terms of the border, because we talk about fentanyl a lot in terms of the border, and China and Mexico and their role, and you say we're providing the demand, which I get, and they are stepping up to the plate because it's a huge money-making operation. Talk to me a little bit about your understanding of that side of it.
Well, you know, this is a complex issue, yet it's a fundamentally unsophisticated issue. We have to decide who we want to be as a nation. And when I say this, you know, it's interesting because my office was highly involved in politics. And when I took this office, one of my, you know, personal commandments was I refuse to allow politics to play a part in public safety. So when I do this, I look at it through X's and O's, and I say, on a local level, then extending to a national need, what do we have to be as a nation to be safe? So we have to first and foremost identify where the threats come from. So whether it is violent crime, property crime, drug addiction, drug distribution, whatever category you speak of, we have to be adamant about our opposition to that. So first and foremost, where does a threat come from? If we have threats that are coming from outside of our nation, how do we mitigate, suppress, and eliminate the potential for that threat to affect us? How do we take a more aggressive approach to attacking those who are attacking our nation? Then we look at it internally and we say, okay, what are we willing to do in a sophisticated manner to address this problem and be solution oriented? There are people that must be incarcerated for their crimes, even if they are drug related crimes, because what they do, the devastation of a nation is considerable. We can't dismiss that. Then what do we do to educate our children so that they're making sound decisions? Because our children go to school every day and learn about math and science and English and all the things that we learn fundamentally. It's important. But if they fail a drug test, meaning if they take that drug the first time, everything they earn academically becomes irrelevant. So we have to have an investment in educating our children on life skills to get them through these momentary challenges that can be life altering. And then we talk about, you know, the issue of who are we going to be as we lead by example, meaning we do not believe in these practices, and anyone who poses a threat to our children, our families, must be held accountable. So it is being sound and safe and having barriers and borders and sophisticated processes to identify, catch, and prosecute criminals, being sophisticated in educating our community as to why this is so threatening, and then being consistent in everything that we do so that no matter what walk of life you come from, whether it's politics, religion, color of skin, whatever it may be, safety for our children has to be the leading priority without any interference. So I think that we really need to kind of recalibrate who we are as a people in this nation and make dramatic changes to improve public safety and public health.
The Untold Story continues right after this.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com.
With regard to this recent bust by your Phoenix Police Department, 1 million fentanyl pills in that bust, and you had two arrests, 26-year-old Francisco Delgado, 21-year-old Jose Molina. Tell me about that bust and the apprehension of these two individuals.
Gosh, Martha. So just to give you context here. So I actually spent my career with the Phoenix Police Department 21 years there before I became the Maricopa County Sheriff. So that particular investigation was headed up by a different agency than the one that I run. The familiarity that I do have is I will tell you that it is consistent, similar with other major seizures we've had. The volume may be a little bit different. What I will tell you is this. Everyone and anyone who believes the opportunity to traffic in these drugs right now is so profitable that the reward is worth the risk is getting involved in that practice, in that business. We had a seizure of nearly 100,000 pills just recently that involved, if I remember correctly, one of the suspects was barely above the legal age. I think he was 19, and the other suspect was either 16 or 17. So what are we seeing? We're seeing that it is an easily transportable drug. It can be concealed, without much complication. It comes in forms that look, like candy, Skittles and other things like that. So it's appealing to children. But the idea of a monetary gain of a considerable amount while, kind of overwhelming law enforcement during a time when anything we're not talking about is where's law enforcement on this? We have seen the opportunity to recruit and retain employees in this profession dwindle to a level I never expected. Mm. And again, I've been in it for 3 decades. So the complexity of that case, I can't get in the weeds on. I can just tell you that there are far more of those trying to bring drugs into the nation than we have resources and people trying to oppress and stop that from occurring. And it's kind of a balancing act. How do we promote, improve, and expand law enforcement and avoid this demonization that's making it hard for us to recruit so that we are better prepared and equipped to take on those types of practices, which is just overwhelm a nation with pills as much as possible. And no matter how much you lose, for every million that gets seized, there were 5 million that may have gotten through. Now, that is just I'm not saying that from science. I'm just using it as an example. Mm-hmm. But that really is kind of the practice of narcotics. If we send plenty through, whatever you seize will pale in comparison to what we get past. And the profit margin is so considerable that that loss is nothing to the cartels or the organizations that are distributing drugs.
Yeah. I mean, when you read about these busts, you just think about how much is getting through when those huge busts are made. It's a great point. Obviously, it's still very profitable. It's still a great business for them, even given the amount that will get apprehended, that will get caught. What are the penalties like for these two individuals who were just busted? What's going to happen to them?
Well, there's another area of concern, and I don't point blame, but I feel like in our court system, we've fallen into this practice that we look for ways, and I understand it, to try to, when people commit crimes, what is the appropriate punishment, and how do you get to a place where it's good for all involved? But, that's like almost a mathematical formula. Have they been arrested before? What are their ages? And you take that consideration. Do we see drugs as severe a penalty as a homicide? Yet, if I could give you an example of the impact of this drug, I told you that we run the jail system, and as hard as we work to try to keep drugs out of the jails, it finds its way in. We had one incident, Martha, where within about a time-minute time frame, one of the inmates was able to bring fentanyl into the jail, and we had 5 overdoses occur within a 10-minute time frame our detention officers were administering Narcan and trying to save lives all in one pod because 5 inmates dropped just one after the next. So, it has so many complexities to it, and even for our detention officers, it's dangerous for them to even touch or be in close proximity to fentanyl because of what it can do to your own system. So, we deal with it in so many levels. What I would ask is this: when as a nation are we going to see that pendulum swing back to the middle and say law enforcement has a difficult job, we have to work with them to overcome these challenges, but we have to find a way to properly fund and support so that they can staff to meet the needs? But if that's happening in the jail system, just translate that into the free society, how dangerous it is for our children, how readily accessible it is, and what it does to devastate and take lives of all walks of life, as I had stated earlier.
That's an incredible, awful story. It's the visual of, 5 inmates dropping over the course of an hour based on something that was smuggled into a prison. And you're right. You extrapolate that out to the rest of the population and you imagine what's happening. What is your thought on the border situation? We've had 2 million people cross the border since 2020. The number's probably a lot higher than that. What would you like to see happen at the border, and how could that be helpful in fighting fentanyl?
Well, I think it's a complex issue. I think that politics shouldn't play no place in our efforts to be a sound and safe nation, that we have to be honest with ourselves and say anyone who enters without any accountability into any nation, that that is in conflict with the best interests of the nation at hand. So, like, I travel across the world. My wife and I have family in Italy. We go there almost every year. We abide by the laws. Obviously, we're flying into that nation. We're providing passports. We're abiding by every rule and regulation they have. In our nation, we believe that citizenship is one of the greatest values that we have to offer. And for those who either earned it or born into it, it comes with a certain level of responsibility. If we do not believe that it's important to secure the border and that people can enter freely, whether it's through ports of entry, whether it is legal entry and then overstaying, the legal capacity of your stay, or it is coming across as human trafficking, which contributes to drug trafficking and other issues, then what we're doing is we're diminishing the value of citizenship. So in my opinion, to your question, and I apologize, I'm getting so long-winded, we have to make a sophisticated long-term plan, meaning what can we accomplish this year? What can we accomplish in 5 years? What can we accomplish in 10 years to secure our border through staffing, through technology, through borders, physical borders in the appropriate places where it's impactful? And how do we find a way at the same time to ensure that our nation continues to be a free nation that is welcoming to those who pursue job opportunities or citizenship, the things that are fundamental to who we are within our principles? But I think the politicians get in the way. Many politicians who really don't understand the impact are the ones making the decisions relative to legislation or funding or other pieces. So I don't ask that law enforcement be the ones responsible for it, because that's not our place. But I do believe that law enforcement and others who are the experts in the field should be at the table as part of the conversation, and that politics should be removed and process should be, at the core. We have been kicking this can down the road for far too long through many administrations. As a nation, if we want to see our children live in a space that is better than we received it, which isn't the case right now, then we have to be solution oriented. And that means having tough conversations and doing things that are uncomfortable.
Last question for you, Sheriff. On a personal level, what kind of impact have you seen this have in your own community, in your own circle?
Frightening. And I'm not a person who, I'm careful with my words because I try not to, embellish or invoke fear or those types of things. But I've always believed that drugs is the greatest threat to the well-being of our society because it contributes to so many other factors. As I stated earlier, violent crime, property crime. But drugs is not a victimless crime. Talk to the families who have lost loved ones. Talk to a family member whose teenage, son overdosed and died. Talk to someone who has seen a family member become an addict and then suddenly steal from their own family and become a soulless, human that they can't recognize anymore. It affects all of us. Walk into a room and ask, someone to say, raise your hand if you're not affected directly or indirectly by drug addiction or the problem of drugs in our society, and you won't see a hand go up. So it is heartbreaking to be a sheriff, to see the loss of life in our streets and even in our jails because of as a public health crisis that is a public safety crisis that is going unattended. We have to get more information out. We have to come together to address this so that our children can focus on things like church and school and not sheltering in place from active shooters or, overdosing from first-time exposure to a drug like fentanyl. I am a father of two grown men, and I thank the Lord every day that they're, in their late 20s and early 30s and that they're healthy and productive. But they were one bad decision away from being a statistic. And every family should look at it through that lens and say, how can I do more to make it safer for all children?
Yeah. Well said. Thank you so much. Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff Paul Penzone. He has served 30 years in law enforcement and public safety experience, with 21 of those years at the Phoenix Police Department, which is the agency that I mentioned earlier that just had a 1 million fentanyl pill bust. And that story is all across Arizona, all across a lot of places in this country. And Sheriff, we thank you very much for being with us today. Thank you.
It's an honor to be on your show, Martha. Whenever you need me, I'll always be here. Thank you.
So appreciate it. Thank you so much, Sheriff.
You've been listening to The Untold Story. I'm Martha McCallum. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Make sure to rate and review. For more podcasts, go to foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is Jimmy Fallon, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.